Okay, good. I have a little side message here that I felt the Lord wanted me to give. This isn't the main message. My main message is still Messiah who was and is to come. But I felt a burden this morning about how we see the coming together of the body. That this is really the same as when the Lord told Israel in Leviticus 23 about the coming together on Shabbat. The Lord called it a holy convocation. We aren't just coming together because the Lord gave Harold some words to say. We're coming together because the scripture tells us that we come together to meet the Lord. I believe that sincerely. We come together to glorify Him, to praise Him, and also to have a work of the Holy Spirit done in our hearts so that we would love Him more and love those around us the way He instructed us to. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. He didn't say by how many meetings you attend. By the love of Yeshua for one another. By your love. And we have to love Him first and foremost. My father-in-law used to say, that's the root. And the fruit is to love one another as the Lord instructed us and gave us the power through the Holy Spirit to do that. Now, I was thinking of what Gracie's cousin went through. He was ministering down in South America, or Central America, and then in Mexico, establishing congregations. And he was getting up in age, and he decided he and his wife would come home and they'd minister here to the Latino population, because that's the population that was down south of the border. And he found the Latinos so indifferent here, so comfortable in their American materialism, that he couldn't get a listening ear. And he went back to Mexico to minister, where the Lord took him at that time. I was listening to a message by Haskell. Haskell went home to be with the Lord in 1998, and he was telling about the fact that the Hebrew University in Jerusalem has a New Testament department. And this well-known rabbi, Flosser, Dr. Flosser, had a great ministry there. Maybe he still does. But he was saying to his Jewish people, we should all learn what Yeshua had to say. And he didn't say because he's the Messiah. He said because he had a handle on the last days. And according to what he said, we're in the last days and this is the end of the age. So we should get serious about the Lord. And I feel like believers take the coming together of the body often in such a trite way. If we come okay, if we don't come okay, it's not really that important. There are other things more important. I want to read to you what Rabbi Samuel Raphael Hirsch says about the coming together on Shabbat. Now, he was one of the foremost teachers in the Orthodox wing of the Jewish people. And he's talking here about what Shabbat means. Yeshua, by the way, in Mark 2, when he was correcting the Pharisees who were upset at his disciples plucking grain on Shabbat, they considered that work. And he makes a statement that Shabbat was made for mankind, not mankind for Shabbat. And he adds, so the Son of Man, meaning himself, is Lord even of Shabbat. So here's what Rabbi Hirsch says about Shabbat and why we keep it. In arriving at his interpretation of melacha, what is work, you know, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch starts with the basic idea that Shabbat, or the Sabbath, testifies to God as the supreme creator of heaven and earth and all they contain. You know, in the prayer that we say Melech HaOlam. Isis is not Melech HaOlam. Isis has nothing to do with the rule of the universe. They may look powerful now, but they'll end up in the dust as most worldly powers do. Adonai, the Lord, is Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe. He's in control even when things look out of control. He's the creator of heaven and earth and all they contain. Man, however, is engaged in a constant struggle to gain mastery over God's creation, to bring nature under his control. By the use of his God-given intelligence, skill, and energy, he has in large measure succeeded in this. And I might add, he's also succeeded in making the most destructive weapons mankind has ever known. He is thus constantly in danger of forgetting his own creaturehood, his utter and complete dependence on the Lord of all things. He tends to forget that the very powers he uses in his conquest of nature has derived from his creator, the Lord, in whose service his life and work should be conducted. That no matter what we're doing, if we're really God's children, even our work is devoted to him. In a world increasingly forgetful of God, Israel was entrusted with the task of preserving this all-important truth for the future salvation of mankind. God will, therefore, that the Jew, while subduing and controlling his environment like every other human being, must recognize and show that he recognizes that his powers are derived from one, with a capital O, higher than himself. This recognition he is to express by dedicating one day every week to God and by refraining on this day from every activity which signifies human power over nature. That it says when Israel came together to worship the Lord, the calendar of events, of holidays, holy days, puts Shabbat first. And the idea is that it is a holy convocation. When we come together, it's something holy because we don't come together to hear a message and go home. We come together to meet the living God. So it's holy. And it's not to be treated as an afterthought. And I think when we don't realize God's priorities, we get in deep trouble, and soon we're so cold we don't even feel any desire for spiritual things because they're right down the line somewhere as not important as these things up here the things I consider important. Seek ye first is primary. Seek ye primary, Yeshua said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things, your food, your clothing, your shelter, they will be provided. God will provide. But the primary thing is to seek first God's kingdom, God's rule. That's primary, no matter what you think is more important. That, for the believer, that's primary. And his righteousness, and God will take care of these other things. Okay, now I'm going to quote another rabbi. How many have heard of Hillel? Some have heard of Hillel. Okay, here's what the World Book Encyclopedia says about this famous rabbi. He was famous during the first century. The two famous rabbis during the first century were Hillel and Shammai. So it says of Hillel, about his dates are about 70 BC to AD 9. He was a spiritual leader of the Jews from 30 BC until his death. He was born in Babylonia and settled in Palestine when he was 40 years old. Hillel became an authority on the interpretation of biblical law, that is Torah, and founded an influential school which was named for him. The two outstanding traits of his character were humility and love, which we all need more of. Love for his fellow men. When someone once asked him the meaning of Judaism, he replied this: "What is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow man. This is the whole law, our Torah, and the rest is mere commentary." Now, this was a great rabbi that was highly esteemed in Israel. Now, I don't know how many of you have read Christian commentaries, but commentators in the Christian commentaries often disagree with one another. And can you believe that a person who was so astute in Torah could have been wrong in some other interpretation? Is that possible? I have told our people that I am not the Pope speaking ex cathedra. That if they hear something that I said that was wrong, I want you to tell me, because I am a mere human like the rest of you. But it is possible for people who are highly esteemed in theological circles to make a mistake in their interpretation. Now, the interesting thing is, if you go to Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law, which is part of it is the Talmud, you will see rabbis arguing with each other about interpretation. My father-in-law's father was a rabbi, and he used to teach him Talmud, and he'd say, after hearing these rabbis argue, he says, "Who's right?" And his father would hit him. He'd say, "Shut up, they're both right." He says, "Wait a minute, they can't both be right. They're each saying something different." He says, "They're both right, and that's the end of it." So here's what you read in Talmud. Here's a quote from Rabbi Hillel in the Babylonian Talmud, which is the Jews consider the most authoritative Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin, folio 99a. Rabbi Hillel said, "There shall be no Messiah for Israel because they have already enjoyed him in the days of Hezekiah." Now, he believed that because Hezekiah brought a great revival in Israel, prior to him, heathen religion, Baal worship, Baal you translate it, had come into Israel, and he cleared out all of these heathen idols and so forth and brought a revival in Israel. So Rabbi Hillel is saying, so I consider that he was the Messiah. So he reigned over Judah from 715 BC to 689 BC. He reigned over Judah 29 years. So Rabbi Joseph reads this, and he says, may God forgive him. In other words, for saying this. Now, when did Hezekiah flourish? During the first temple, during Solomon's temple. So Solomon's temple's dates are 906 BC to 586 BC. Yet Zechariah, prophesying in the days of the second temple, that was called Zerubbabel's temple, which was begun in 536 BC and completed in 516 BC, and Herod redid the temple so that it was one of the most magnificent temples in all of his kingdom, and it was destroyed by Roman forces under Titus in 70 AD. So that was the second temple. Now, the dates for Zechariah's prophecy was from 520 BC to 480 BC. Zechariah was prophesying in the days of the second temple over 200 years after Zechariah's reign. I'm sorry, Hezekiah's reign. He wrote this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Messiah was thought of as the expected king, the fulfillment of the prophecy to David that never a man would fail from the throne of David. And so thy king cometh unto thee. Here's what he is like. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass or a donkey, upon a colt the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9:9. What conclusions do we arrive at from this? When considering Rabbi Hillel's conclusion that Hezekiah was the Messiah and Rabbi Joseph's refutation based on Zechariah's prophecy, so what does this all mean? That Rabbi Hillel, the great authority on biblical law, was incorrect in proclaiming Hezekiah to be the Messiah. That's number one. The prophecy of Messiah, the king coming on a donkey, Zechariah 9:9, is also dated. How many here have been to Jerusalem? Some. Okay. Can you imagine? You've seen the main streets of Jerusalem, haven't you? How many? You've seen the main streets of Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem like at rush hour? It's sort of like Woodward.
Or New York.
And there are all these cars coming down. Can you imagine if Messiah came down the middle of Jerusalem now on a donkey? By the way, you don't see many people riding a donkey in Jerusalem today. So this prophecy is dated. It must have been that Messiah was to come earlier. So that's why we read Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. How many listened when we read that? Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Yeshua, Jesus, sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, meaning Zechariah. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you." You know, many were expecting a king on a white horse, weren't they? But it says, "Your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the crowd spread out garments and branches on the ground and sang praises to him. See, this word, Hosanna, literally means "save, we beseech you." But it became a word of praise. Hosanna, we say. Hosanna, save, we beseech you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? The whole human race. "Save, we beseech you." The crowds went ahead of him, and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," acknowledging that this is the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. This is he. "See, your king comes to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Yeshua entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Yeshua, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Isaiah had written about that. We know that Micah 5:2, 5:1 in the Hebrew said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you're little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth who is to rule my people Israel, whose goings forth, whose origins have been from of old, mime olam, from days of eternity." The Messiah would be from eternity. He would be God. And Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah chapters 1 and 2, "In the future, he, God, will honor Galilee of the Gentiles." Here he is to come out of Galilee too, "by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Out of Galilee would come one who would bring light in the midst of darkness. Don't tell me that this world isn't dark and getting darker. The one true light, Yeshua said, "Ani or ha'olam, I am the light of the world." That's the message we're to put forth. One has come who's a fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He is the light of the world. And God is shining into the hearts of those who will open their hearts, and he's sending light into the darkness of our human heart, that we would know what it is to love God first and foremost, and to love one another, and to count that which God calls us to, his kingdom, as primary. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And we would be the mouthpiece for God. "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And all of these names given to him in Isaiah 9:6 are really who he is. A child born, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulder. Listen, the government isn't on the shoulders of the Republicans or the Democrats as far as God's mastery is concerned. The government is on the governor of the universe, who is Adonai, and his Messiah, Yeshua. How long has Yeshua been here? He prayed in his final prayer before going to the cross. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. When God says, let us make man in our own image, and he uses the plural pronoun, he's talking to Yeshua. When he said in Psalm 110, verse 1, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, he's talking about Yeshua, who is at the right hand of the Father. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, El Gibor, God Almighty, Aviad, the Father of Eternity, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. The United Nations will not bring peace. Yeshua is Sar Shalom, God's Messiah, the Prince of Peace. So, what's for us, since we live in a cataclysmic world that's getting worse? What about our peace? Peace I leave with you, he said. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That Yeshua gives us the peace of God by the Holy Spirit that transcends all human understanding. He speaks of the fact that he's coming again. We are supposed to be waiting and anticipating his coming. And we're supposed to be living in a way that our lives so reflect the Lord that we anticipate his coming momentarily, and we're going to live to glorify him. First and foremost, we live to glorify him. We are not here to make ourselves as comfortable as possible. We're not here to gain as much money as we can possibly get and store it up. We're here to seek first, primary, the kingdom of God, the rule of God over our lives, and the propagation of the good news of who he is to others, that the Messiah has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we open our hearts to him, are immersed in his name for the forgiveness of sin, receive the Holy Spirit, that his love may be in our heart and it may be our motivation. And so what will that bring forth? The fruit of the Spirit is love, manifested as joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. He tells us that we are under a law. Do you know Messiah has a Torah? If you read in Galatians 8:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the Torah of Messiah. Does that sound familiar? It's translated the law of Christ. It's the Torah of Messiah. Bear ye one another's burdens. That when we see our brothers and our sisters in need and we can take care of them, we don't walk away. We try to show the love of the Lord to them. Yeshua came to show the love of God to mankind, so much so that he was willing to lay down his life for mankind. And he said, a new commandment I give you, those who were the Talmidim, his followers, that you love one another. Listen to this. Pardon me. As I have loved you. That we have Yeshua kind of love for one another. I'll tell you, there have been those here who I thought had Yeshua love, and they sometimes saw their brothers and sisters with their backs to the wall and walked away from them. That is not the love of Yeshua. If we really love one another and we're part of the body, when we see our brothers and sisters in need, we don't walk away from them. We try to help them. And when he saw so many in Israel in his day, he was in Jerusalem and he was grieved over the attitude of people who were part of Israel and were not walking with the Lord. And he realized that in the history of Israel, beside the prophets who gave the world the scriptures, there were those who actually killed the prophets. Much of our people, many of our people, went to Baal worship. We were like the Gentiles. We became like the Gentiles. False worship. And here is a picture of God sent one, the Messiah, who came to save. And he said, oh, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. He's talking to those who were not willing. By the way, those who were willing took the good news of the Messiah and brought it to the Gentiles. That's how the Gentiles happened to have the good news, is that early first century Jews brought the gospel, the good news of God, to them. And he says that he desired to gather his people under his wings as a hen gathers her chicks, and you were not. Look, your house is left to you desolate. In the beginning, he talked about the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, and he says, my house is to be a house of prayer for all people. When there was a rejection of Messiah, he said, your house is left to you desolate. And 40 years later, the Roman hordes under Titus came in and totally destroyed that house. We were in Jerusalem in 1998, and the stones are still on the ground, these huge stones that were left when Titus destroyed the temple, and sacrifice ceased because God's sacrifice had already been offered in the Messiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes, By his blood atonement, we are healed. So, what about this thing about peace? His peace. He had to come first to deal with sin and atonement, to set things right in the human heart, or there wouldn't be any peace, no matter how many peace treaties you sign. And so what is going to come? He is coming again to put down human rule. I'm sorry, even the Republicans and Democrats are going to be put down. The only rule that will remain is the rule of the Lord God under his Messiah, Yeshua. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. Don't we need that? Yes. There's so much crookedness in government all over the world. He will reign upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, will accomplish this. Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, is working to establish his Messiah as the one who will control government on this world and put down all corrupt human government. So it behooves us to seek first the rule of Yeshua in our lives. And when we come together as a body to anticipate the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts and bringing us closer to him, so that when we go out and give out the good news, that we would truly be lights for his glory. Did anyone who received